Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone to our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. My name is Dennis Neufeld and I'm sitting here with Rick Sterling and Larry with Dr. Don on the phone, and Mike is coming down the hill and he will be here in just a few minutes. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to listen to us either live or on our podcast. And we encourage you to take notes on this. Today is going to be, I believe, something special. But then again, I believe every single one of our programs has been special. We have two websites and a Facebook page. Our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. And there you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling, and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, published in 2007. Interestingly enough, the publishing company that put our book into print is now, for a variety of reasons, no longer in business. So you can read it for free, and we encourage you to do that. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you will find lots of good writing by the rest of us. And by the way, that little yell in the background was my black cat,
and
same one as yesterday, and ad infinitum. The only way I can stop her from doing that is to throw her out and then she comes back in. The that website has lots of good information. We encourage you to go take a look around there. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a new day of enjoyment of the truth. Father, we understand and know that there are no coincidences involving you and how you plan for our futures. We envision seeing the fulfillment of your plans very soon. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning to everybody, listening audience, and all of you at the table.
And we're glad that you're here with us too today, Don. And Mike will be coming here in just a few minutes. And good morning, Rick.
Good morning and good day to everyone. I hope you had a chance to listen to yesterday's broadcast. If not, you can always download it and listen to it that way, because yesterday's, of course, will feed into what we talk about today.
And by the way, apropos of listeners and episodes, we now have done 1,447 episodes. Today will be 1,448.
First John is a letter John wrote to those who have had accepted the testimony of the Son of God as it was being presented to them by John and the rest of the disciples, or some of the disciples. And he says in the opening of this letter, something which has existed since the beginning, that we have heard and we have seen with our own eyes, that we have watched and touched with our hands, the Word. Of course, Word has a capital W, and he's speaking of the Son of God, the Word of God, who is life. So go to chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 18. And there's some important points here that I would like you to know before we go into the main theme of our study. So 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 18. Children, these are the last days. You were told that an Antichrist must come, and now several Antichrists have already appeared. We know from this that these are the last days. Those rivals of Messiah, the Anointed One, came out of our own number, but they had never really belonged. If they had belonged, they would have stayed with us, but they left us. To prove that not one of them ever belonged to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One and have all received the knowledge. It is not because you do not know the truth that I am writing to you, but rather because you know it already and know that no lie can come from the truth. They do not coexist. They do not support one another. Yes, Dennis.
And they are inversely proportional, which means the more lies you have, the less truth you have, and the more truth you have, the less lies you have, until you have no lie in you.
The man who denies that Jesus is the Anointed, he is the liar. He is the Antichrist. And he is denying the Father as well as the Son, because no one who has the Father can deny the Son. And to acknowledge the Son is to have the Father as well. Keep alive in yourselves what you were taught in the beginning. As long as what you were taught in the beginning is alive in you, you will live in the Son and in the Father. And what is promised to you by his own promise is eternal life. Yes, Larry.
One of the rabbit holes I noticed in there that we're exploring further exploration was denying the Son. What different forms does that?
Well, the reason I read the introduction that John wrote in this letter, where he talks about the word and capitalizes the W. John has been consistent in his insistence that if you do not learn the testimony of the Son of God, if you do not hold to what he taught, but you follow someone else who claims to have received a gospel from God the Father, and they are telling you that that is now the way of salvation for the Gentiles,
that Jesus changed his mind.
No lie can live with the truth. This is all that I am writing to you about the people who are trying to lead you astray. But you have not lost the anointing that he gave you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. The anointing he gave teaches you everything. You are anointed with truth. Let that sink in. You are anointed with truth, not with a lie. And as it has taught you, so you must stay in him. Live in Christ, then, my children, so that if he appears, we may have full confidence and not turn from him in shame at his coming. You know that God is righteous. Then you must recognize that everyone whose life is righteous has been begotten, that means born, by him.
Associate with John 3, born again.
And John 1.
Tells you how it happens.
John 1, yes, everything. It's I have started writing another article that I currently have titled Thy Kingdom Come. And it explains the key element that we have been talking about and discussing, and that is the kingdom of God. It's the first line in the prayer that the Son of God gave to his disciples as this is what should be included in your prayer.
And just a small comment about how that, what you're writing, may be unique from what people already know. It's the kingdom of God as defined by God,
exactly.
Not by anyone else.
And see, we read in Daniel chapter 7. I suppose we could go back there and take a look at that again. Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. The little horn was making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age, who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, when the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. Your Bible translation may say receive the kingdom. The point is the same.
An interesting concept there that just immediately came to mind was, which came first, the saints being ready to possess the kingdom or the kingdom being ready to accept the saints?
Well, what we understand is the kingdom exists before there are any people in it. The kingdom exists before there are any people in it, because they don't enter the kingdom, they receive the kingdom.
And the kingdom is like, well, Dr. Rich put it succinctly long ago, the kingdom of heaven is a trust. And that trust can be in existence outside of having anything in it. It is when the trust comes alive, when it is, what would you call it? When people are put in it.
Well, it's like right. This. A lot of people here in the United States set up a family trust. And the reason is that that way the death tax doesn't happen.
And a few verses earlier, verse 14 primarily, the king was named for the kingdom prior to receiving
right.
the saints.
Mm-hmm. He was, on him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. So the trust that is set up by the family when the mother and the father have fallen asleep in death is divided up amongst the remaining family members, as is described in the trust. So the trust is there until the parents both have died, and then the trust is dispersed to those family members. I wrote an article, which you can find on WordPress, that's called The Kingdom of Heaven Trust, and that goes into a little more detail about how the trust was set up and how we access that trust.
And all of this goes to how salvation really works. We have been taught by our pastors and our teachers through what Paul has written, that Jesus came to be our personal Savior, and we are then, therefore, because of his sacrifice, because he died with our sin on him, he became sin for us, and therefore we are saved. However, that is not what Jesus taught, and that is the purpose of the Kingdom of Heaven Trust. If you are in the kingdom, you can take advantage of what it was that Jesus did on the cross for his righteous kingdom.
Right. So only the righteous can access the trust.
Exactly. And
all the righteous will access the trust. And
correct.
That's where the kingdom is involved.
A premature thought, that's undeveloped thought, but I'm pretty sure there's a metaphor in there someplace. One of the ways I frequently hear the word trust used in current times is in relationship to an RV or the Nisara disbursement
mm-hmm.
of wealth. And sometimes it's recommended, if not necessary, but recommended, that a trust be set up.
Well, and what Dennis described earlier with him finding the receipts for the trust that he purchased shares in.
Correct. And that is called the Omega Trust. And dare anybody, you know, say that we're kind of going off the rails on this. You can look any of this up. There
How many
is all
people
sorts
have
of-
access to that trust that don't have any shares in that trust?
Nobody. There is no one who has not purchased shares in that that will be able to access those funds.
So I'm
in proportion to the number of shares.
So what I'm saying is that how do you get a share in the kingdom of God?
And to that
point, what does it require? What do you do to purchase a share?
You keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the story of the talents is really a story of the trust.
Yes.
A little play on the words there. One of the ways you get a share is by sharing the truth.
And you have to have the truth before you can share the truth.
Right. Exactly.
So you have to have a share before you can share. Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to go through this and show you what would have happened if the world had been in a state of wickedness in 2012. 2012 was the pivotal year. There's a lot of things I could say that I know about 2012 and one of them is, yes, the Mayan calendar, but that's only one, and it's not a major thing, but it's...
Yeah, it is not a major feature of what happened in 2012.
It's of interest to me that you mentioned 2012, because I was listening to a podcast last night, and I don't remember all the details of what and where it was, but they started with 2012 as being one of the beginning dates of the current
restoration. It's where we went into the alternate reality.
Because often I only think of 2016 as being a pivotal date. But
now, of course, I read something this week that the reason that we are in this reality and not the other reality is that time travelers from the future came back and changed things so we wouldn't go into that reality. That is not true. There were no time travelers that came back and did anything. If God is in complete control, or we are in dire straits.
We are up that creek without a paddle, and the creek is not a really nice place to be.
And one other thing that I have noticed, even amongst those who are very spiritually minded in the knowledge of the existence of a creator, and they know about God, but they don't know God. They're not really expecting God to appear, to return to this earth. Most Christians believe that they are going to be sucked up off of this earth into heaven. And then the earth will be left to its own wicked devices for a time, or the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire and blah, blah, blah. there's no true understanding of what people are really expecting. It's just a matter of faith for them. I am hoping to be able to explain this in a way that you can understand it so that you can see what we should be expecting as far as God is concerned in the very near future. And it has changed from what I am about to read to you. Yesterday I talked about Revelation 10, and so I want you to keep that in mind when we read this. I'm reading this just to show you that the reality that we were going into in 2012 and then 2016, because 2012 was when the 144,000 would have started the worldwide ministry in preparing the kingdom for what was about to occur in the Great Tribulation, which was scheduled to start in 2016.
And that original reality that you're about to refer to, or actually currently referring to, as being replaced by a different reality, the original one maybe was given explicitly in detail because it seemed to be the path of least resistance that was been most probable for mankind to choose.
Well, the way that I understand it is God has in the past given both realities. But each time that he has given both realities, with the exception of Nineveh that I'm aware of, the nation involved chose the death and destruction
option,
curses reality. This time, he didn't give the two realities. He gave the one in detail, which I would call the death road wickedness reality. But the life road blessing reality is a secret. But he let us know that there was a secret and that he would let us know what that secret was. That's the seven thunders. But we wouldn't...
It's the seven thunders of Revelation 10. I've got to make sure of that.
Well, I don't know that there are seven thunders anywhere else, but...
No, but I mean...
Revelation 10, yes. If he had let us know... Now, I know that the seven thunder said something because John was about ready to write it down and he was told to keep it a secret, not write it down. If he had given... If he had let John write it down, then we would have Revelation with two different realities. And I think that it would have messed up the biblical translators, or, you know, the canonical councils that were held. And they would go, well, we can't make sense of this or that. So they might have excluded the bad reality and kept in the good reality, because that would be more like God. And the reason I say this is they almost didn't put Revelation in.
Right.
It was almost, it barely squeaked in by the skin of its teeth in the last session. And they put it in because they just thought it was not, it was more spiritual. So it wasn't really going to happen the way it was. It was more of
allegory.
This is kind of the allegory of good and evil and so on. So they put it in. But I can tell you that if John had written down what he heard the seven thunders say, I don't think that the bad part of Revelation would have been put in there. You go, well, but then wouldn't that be fine? I mean, because we're not going through that. Here's the thing. The reality that we see with the globalists right now in their effort to subdue the whole world under a tyrannical, oligarchic, socialist, communist system was going to take place whether we went through the hellfire and brimstone part of Revelation or whether we go through the seven thunders parts of Revelation. And can you imagine the confusion, consternation, whatever you want to call it, of people seeing what the globalists are attempting to do without knowing that that was part of the plan, because all they know about is the life and blessing and you know, the wonderful world that we are going to be given. And we know that. We know the seven thunders are going to happen. We know we are not going through the Great Tribulation because we didn't get started in 2012 with 144,000.
I just had a rather wry thought that it is interesting that John kept that secret. He was alive for many years after he was given this vision. And if he'd have been a member of Congress, it would have leaked already. And we would already know what it means. Sorry, just a little political humor.
Yes,
there.
Or even the Supreme Court.
Or even the Supreme Court, exactly.
So, Revelation 13. Well, let's start with 12. We'll do 12:17. Because we could tie 12:17 and make it 13:1. Just saying. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman. We know the woman is the Holy Spirit. And went away to make war on the rest of her children. So she must have children at the time the dragon is going to make war. That's why I'm saying that I think that verse 17 should actually be 13:1. That is, now these are the two qualities of these children. Those who obey God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, which are the covenant, the testimony, that Ten Commandments testify to the validity of citizenship of the person in the kingdom. And bear witness for the Son of God, Jesus. Now, to bear witness is they hold to his testimony. But not only do they hold to his testimony, they are testifying the same to the same testimony. So as the Son of God said that I say only what my Father gives me command to say, I'm not telling you something that comes from me. I'm telling you what comes from my Father that I heard him say when I was there with him, and he told me to say these words to you. The testimony of those who have been born of this woman is the testimony of their king, the testimony of the Son of God. It is no other testimony. Now, again, I say, included in his testimony is the law and the prophets. So we're not excluding the law and the prophets. They are included because they are included in his testimony. In fact, they were the foundation of his testimony.
Matthew 5:17.
Yes. So what we are talking about is that the dragon is preparing to make war against the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God are the children of this woman who is the Holy Spirit. God then would need to have a kingdom for this, for the dragon, the kingdom of the dragon, which includes his servants here on earth. In fact, his servants here on earth are the ones that the dragon uses to conduct the war against those in the kingdom. The war is a spiritual war. It is not a war of armaments, but guns, bullets, bombs, chemicals, etc., etc. It's a spiritual war where lies are the ammunition and truth is the ammunition.
A little retro comment here. It took me a little while to find what I was looking for, but back on 12:17, where it says, hold to the testimony, what popped into my mind was the phrase, as a testimony to all nations.
Yes.
And I found that in the concordance of my Bible, Matthew 24:14.
14, yes, 14.
Yeah. So that connects those two.
The gospel of the kingdom, or the good news of the kingdom, yes.
So that defines what the gospel is.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you, if you want to know also, in Matthew chapter 4, and it's also in Matthew chapter 9, but we can go to Matthew chapter 4. He went round the whole of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of diseases and sickness among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and those who were suffering from diseases and painful complaints of one kind or another, the possessed, epileptics, the paralyzed, were all brought to him, and he cured them all. Large crowds followed him, coming from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and Transjordania. So what did he proclaim around the whole of Galilee and in the synagogues?
Gospel of the kingdom.
The gospel, or the good news of the kingdom. The same gospel, good news, that he said would be proclaimed throughout the whole world. The testimony of the Son of God is to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Then the end will come. So 13:1. Then I saw a beast emerge from the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with a crown, a coronet crown, that is, not a victory crown, Stephanos crown, on each of its 10 horns. And its heads were marked with blasphemous titles. I saw that the beast was like a leopard, with paws like a bear and mouth like a lion. The dragon had handed over to it his own power and his throne and his worldwide authority. We're talking about the kingdom of the world. And the kingdom of the world is the kingdom that we all are born into when we are born of our mother, our human mother. Everyone, not just some people, not just everybody but the Christians, not just everybody but the Christians and the Jews, not just everybody but the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims, everybody is born into the kingdom of the world when they are born of their mother, their flesh and blood mother, and enter the world for the first time. and being born into the kingdom of the world, the ruler of the world is the dragon, which is Satan and his fellow spiritual beings who were thrown out of heaven and came here to the earth. Now, this beast is a rendition of the kingdom of the world that's ruled by flesh and blood. The dragon is the kingdom of the world ruled by the spiritual beings. It is in the spiritual realm. That's why the dragon and the woman are both pictured as being in the heavens. So the three beasts that comprise this beast that the dragon gives his power and his throne and worldwide authority to is a one world government. Now, I would say that you, if you don't believe that there was ever any attempt to make a worldwide government, that you've been living under a rock, because everywhere I look, they all talk about it, that the concerted effort made by the globalists and their associates and leadership are working desperately to affect their will on the people of the world. And they have used plague, they are using war and the threat of World War III. They are using their power to subdue the people of the world, confiscating farmland, buying farmland, installing their own sympathizers in positions of authority in media, in corporate globalist companies, and last but not least, their leadership in churches, cathedrals, synagogues, and shrines, and anything else, all of the spiritual organizations in the world are all controlled by the globalists, who are controlled by the dragon, the devil. The three beasts represent the three spiritual practices of the first three beasts, or the spiritual practices of the first three beasts of Daniel 7. The lion, the bear, and the leopard, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. We're told also in this that the great city, which I had said many, many years ago was Jerusalem, the great city Babylon, would have distinct qualities, although I hesitate to use the word qualities, but anyway, we find this in Revelation 11, and let's start with verse 8. Their corpses, this is the two witnesses, will lie in the main street of the great city, known by the symbolic names Sodom and Egypt. Now, I don't think that I have to explain to you what the sin of Sodom was. If you just look around at what is happening in the world and what is called grooming and the concerted effort to change the sex of your birth to the opposite one, which is what was going on in Sodom and the five cities in the valley by the Dead Sea. The other thing that it says, which pinpoints this. Now understand, what I'm telling you is not going to happen. I'm just telling you that that's what they have been setting up to happen, and we are not in that reality. And the reason that I'm telling you this is so that you can see that God knows. He told us a long time ago, he's made sure that this information was preserved so that we could see it now, so that we know that God is involved in what is happening.
Does that make the bad guys, the cabal, the evil people, the reality deniers?
Well, it depends. How do you view reality? Because the reality on the death road or in the life road, these guys are still involved on either road. It's just that on the life road, they are defeated. On the death road, they're defeated, but it's at the end. And here, it's at actually the beginning of the new earth. So Sodom and Egypt, and then it says, in which their Lord was crucified. So where do you think that puts the push pin on the earth?
I guess I should have revised my comment. It says, instead of limiting it to the bad guys, say all that are in the kingdom of the world will at some point become reality deniers.
Yes. Well, if you stay in the kingdom of the world, yes, you would be. So what city was their Lord crucified in?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem? In Israel. So where was the great city Babylon supposed to be?
In Israel. Right.
Jerusalem.
Or Palestine, however you want to put it.
So is there any wonder the concerted effort by the human inner core of the satanic cabal to ensure that they controlled Jerusalem? Is there any doubt about why the place of Israel, the country of Israel, was restored? Christianity says that God did it. But if you look at the truth about why Israel was restored, you can see it was not God who restored Israel to their land. It was the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the British royalty. All were involved, and they fought two wars to accomplish this, World War I and World War II. You can look this up. This is, you can find this information about how the nation of Israel was restored. In fact, the head on the beast that had the fatal wound, and the fatal wound was healed, that head really fits with the nation of Israel. That it was a nation that was destroyed by Rome, battered throughout the rest of the world, and then restored back to its land, the land where it was, what was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But as I've said, God took the kingdom away from the children of Israel because they refused to enter it. And not only did they refuse to enter it, but they were preventing anyone else who wanted to enter it to enter it, because they were not telling the truth about God, the God of Israel. Yesterday, I started with the verse in Revelation 16, the sixth angel. And I said that there's a lot of talk about Armageddon, especially now with what is going on in Ukraine and a determined effort to get a war started. And the concern, the deep concern by most people, that this would end up being a exchange of nuclear weaponry, which could wipe out all life on Earth. That will not happen. So don't be in fear of a nuclear holocaust, because God will not allow it. In fact, what it looks like, and I've said this before a while back, but I'm saying again now, because I think it's appropriate. Most people think that this sixth angel, first of all, the sixth bowl of wrath can't be poured out until the other five, the first five before it have happened.
And those five in order.
And the bowls of wrath are only poured out on those who have the mark of the beast, which means that the mark of the beast has to come first. Well, the mark of the beast, of course, people are saying that the mark of the beast is coming because they're, you know, trying to make this central bank digital currency so that no one can buy or sell unless they have in the mark, and the mark could be the jab, it could be other things that are required. But that isn't going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, and it isn't going to happen. They're trying to make it happen. I mean, the devil is not putting up the white flag and saying, okay, I've lost. I'm done. I quit. He knows that there's that when he's done, he's done. And he will be done away with.
Right. And the reason is because the time for it to have happened has already come and gone.
Exactly.
And that is the purpose of looking at that chart that we have posted.
All that would have happened in 2019.
Yeah, would have ended.
Well,
in,
but I mean, the market by the beast that time, and all of that.
By that time. Exactly.
So what does happen? We have an alternate reality here. Because think about it. When did the Son of God say he would return? When this trustworthy and wise enough servant was feeding his fellow servants before everything is going on. This is before. This would be the lead up to the 144,000. So he'd come and either find this servant being feeding his fellow bondservants or beating them and eating and drinking with the drunkards. Now you can imagine there will be two different realities because everything seems to hinge on this one servant. So the alternate, if he was not feeding but beating his fellow servants, this would have happened. The mark of the beast and the wars and all of that. So here it is how it is. This is verse 15 of Revelation 16. This is how it will be. And I never really understood that until I've been able to see it from this perspective. This is how it will be. And this is inserted into the sixth bowl of wrath. It is not associated with the sixth bowl of wrath. I shall come like a thief. Happy, same word used in Matthew 24, 42 to 51. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes. So he's not beating his fellow bondservants and eating and drinking with the drunkards, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. So it looks to me like the war that they are desperately trying to make happen will be interrupted and stopped by the return of the king. Now it says he comes as a thief in the night, so he's not going to be seen by everybody. But he will be seen by the faithful, the trustworthy, and wise enough servant and the fellow servants. And I think it is at that time that they are informed of what the seven thunders said and the message to be given to the whole world.
We'll have a Matthew 28 commission.
A commission to take the truth to the whole world. And those who accept the truth will enjoy a new creation. Those who reject it will be allowed to join their master in his destruction. We're almost there. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick. That was another good one. Thank you all for being here with us today. We encourage you to join us a week from Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath, a good day. And Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll see you all next week.